I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round two recap for this week's Farmers Insurance Open. Joining me to break it all down from Orlando, Florida, the PGA show, I've got Doug Bell here. Hey, Doug.
Rick, how are you? You look good in your hotel room. Where are you? California or something?
I am steps away from Torrey Pines right now. I can hear the roar, so I am on site. But going remote from the hotel room. Kyle Porter also here. KP, hope you're enjoying your time down there, bud.
Yeah, we're coast to coast. This is they just turned the golden tee off. I was going to play Jacob after we were done. So that's a disappointment. I'm constantly amazed by technology. Rick's in a hotel room next to a golf course on the West Coast. We're in a convention center next to an ocean on the East Coast. And we're talking about Adam Shank's second round at the Farmers Insurance Open. That's unbelievable. We take it for granted. It's incredible.
Yeah.
That is what I'd call a normal sport, KP, that we are able to pull this one off. And if you look, you look at what happened in round two of the Farmers Insurance Open, the North course, Doug, played even easier than it did in round one. The South course played even more difficult than it did in round one. So that scoring gap now extending itself, basically a 5-shot difference in scoring averages between these two courses, and guys that were playing really well yesterday might be fading, and vice versa. This leaderboard has been flipped on its head.
Well, Rick, the North course is always a little easier, but not this much. I mean, This really surprises me. I mean, this is somewhat of a shocker. And what Adam Shank did today with an 8-bagger, 8 consecutive birdies, that was incredible. One off the PGA Tour record. And then at the end, he birdies 16, 17, and rims out at 18. What a day for a guy from Purdue, a Boilermaker. Usually we're talking about Georgia Bulldogs or Oklahoma State Cowboys or Florida Gators. Not too many Purdue Boilermakers out there, but good for him. Listen, he's a quality PGA Tour player. The last 3 years, he's gotten better and better and better. Has never won. Contended at the Shriners Children's Open in Vegas and got overtaken by Sungjae Im in that final day. But all in all, I mean, he's a really good player. It's just the old adage, can he follow up what was his best round ever on the PGA Tour with another quality round tomorrow on the South course, Rick? It doesn't happen very often. So I think it'll be a struggle perhaps in the third round for Adam Shank.
Yeah, I think, you know, Rick and I talk a lot about strokes gained and just statistical profiles throughout tournaments. And we don't have numbers on the North course. So it's difficult to put exact data on it, but Shank kind of did it for us, Rick. I don't know if you saw his quotes after the round, but he basically said, like, I didn't hit it very good. I kind of just made everything I looked at, which is just red lights flashing, sirens going off, not going to be able to contend with Rahm and JT on the weekend. I hope he does. It'd be a really honestly cool story, but I have some concerns that there's a 77 in the works on Friday.
Yeah, Adam Shank, according to our friends over at Caesars Sportsbook, 16-1 to win the Farmers Insurance Open. The 8 birdies that he made in a row on Thursday is one short of the PGA Tour record. He was absolutely in fuego. But as you pointed out, Kyle, it is not going to be easy because there's a couple of big dogs also at 13 under par. And maybe the biggest dog of all, the number one player in the world, Jon Rahm, back at it again, had a chance to play the North course, the easier course today. And while he is tied atop the leaderboard, not necessarily satisfied with his round, his post-round presser said his game kind of left much to be desired. He thinks he can go out and play even better around Torrey Pines.
I mean, I think he can. I mean, you look at Doug and I were watching his 36th hole of the week. So the ninth hole on the North course, part right. five. Mm-hmm. He hits it 530 yards in two, and then he takes another three to get the next, yeah. you know, 15 yards. He could have birdied that. JT could have birdied nine also. And Data Golf has either Rom or JT winning at 70%, the field at 30%. And honestly, like, you could talk me into 75 or 80% based on the way they're both playing. I mean, Rom is just, I almost trust him more on the South course. It's almost, it goes back to last week with the American Express thing. The North course is a little of that American Express. It's just so easy that it's so hard to do what Shank did, which is make, you know, 10, I think he made 10 total birdies. So I almost trust yeah. Rom more on the South course where things are just extraordinarily difficult. And so I think he's going to, I don't know. I think he's going to thrive on Friday and Saturday. It's hard to see him finishing outside the top. I'd be shocked if he finished outside the top five.
And Rick, you mentioned a moment ago, things got easier on the North and more difficult on the South. And it's going to keep getting more and more difficult on the South because now you finished the last two rounds there on that tough track. The hole locations, which were the same the first 2 days, obviously, because you flipped the fields. Hole locations are going to be tougher on Saturday. They're going to be really tough on Sunday. An even par score is going to be a really good score on Saturday. I mean, if you go one or two under, you're playing some great golf. So I think Justin Thomas and John Rahm have kind of created a little separation, even though Shank is right there and Tringali is one back. But I really believe the tough conditions favor the best players. And the two best players right now are Rahm and JT. And they're at the top of the leaderboard. So is it a two-man show the rest of the way, Rick? We have 36 holes to go. But I think on those two thoroughbreds, I think they're the favorites for a reason.
Our friends at Caesars think it might be a two-horse race. Plus 138 for John Rahm, plus 250 for Justin Thomas. And the ladder there, KP, a 63 from JT. And I think especially around Torrey Pines, a course where there's a lot of intricacies and learning the greens, having Bones on his bag in this moment feels so, so valuable.
I didn't think about that. You know, this feels like a weird place for him to contend. Do you agree with that, Rick, or no?
Well, he's honestly better on POA, but yeah, it is kind of an awkward spot on paper for him.
I don't know why that is. That's just a little bit the feeling I get, which is probably a dumb thing to say about, you know, when we're talking so much analytics. He is, let's see here. So he gained a stroke on the greens. This is just one measured round. That was on Wednesday when he played the South course. That's the thing that I'm watching. Can he, because I think I know what I'm getting from Rahm on and around these greens on the South course. JT, I feel like the variance is wider. I think he can take it a little deeper than Rahm, maybe. Like, when he gets hot, it is just scorched earth. Like, no pin is safe, you know, that whole deal. But when the putter goes cold, it's like the other end of the spectrum. So JT, I think, is more, there's more excitement for me about what he does over the final 36 because there's more unknown. I have less of an idea, I think, of what I'm getting out of JT over the final 36 than what I'm getting out of Rahm.
I'm looking at those numbers, strokes gained off the tee for Rahm and Thomas, and that's obviously the key to the South course.
Totally.
The rough is substantial, very penal, to say the least. So you have to drive your golf ball well, you're pitching out. But JT, listen, you know, he won his PGA at Quail Hollow. He's won the Players' Championship. He's won in the playoffs, East Lake. He likes tough tracks. Of course, he's won in Hawaii. I don't know. I hate to say that. Listen, I'm out there a lot, and I know you never predict with 36 holes to go it's a two-man race. But I'm leaning in that direction.
JT?
Yeah, JT and John Rahm. I mean, is there anybody else on that board that's going to – I mean, listen, they're all capable going low. I just think the South course is going to be so difficult on Saturday and Sunday. I just don't see somebody rolling in there with a 63 or 64 or even like a 66 to make a huge jump on moving day on Saturday.
Can you throw the producer Jacob? Can you throw the odds back up there? Maybe not. There we go. DJ at 40, I think, is really interesting because he is, where's he at? DJ is 7 under, so he is 7 back, but he's T15. If DJ goes out and shoots, 68 on Friday?
And that'd be one heck of a round.
It would be a great round, but it's not.
It's doable, sure.
Yeah, it's not like it's out of the realm of possibility. Then all of a sudden, he's at 11. Maybe Rahm and JT kind of put it in neutral a little bit. I think DJ at 40 is super interesting there.
Well, we had two superstars in round two really struggle, and they played in the same group here, guys. Doug Bell, I watched Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah. Wince, not only the back, not only the wrist, nearly every single shot that he hit in his second round. And he was playing with Jordan Spieth, who went to the hospital overnight after round one, dealing with stomach issues. Both of these guys are not going to be around for the final two rounds. And it was just a little sad, a little disappointing to see those guys almost figuratively and literally limp around Torrey Pines.
Yeah, obviously, Rick, their game's not in good shape right now. I mean, it's their spring training. I think for Jordan, we haven't seen him at all, really, except the Century Tournament of Champions. So his game, clearly, he's just trying to get it there and not feeling well, added insult to injury. And as for DeChambeau, you know, we were watching, Kyle, as these guys are whipping around.
What is going on
motorcycles
here?
Behind us.
Do they know that we're on the air?
I mean, Rick, I've never seen – DeChambeau swings hard, but I've never seen him swing this out of control before. It was crazy, wasn't it, to watch him swing? And then, of course, he was holding his wrist.
Yeah, that's a question that I had. We were talking about it. It's so hard to tell on TV. We couldn't hear the broadcast. I don't know if they were talking about it, Rick, but it looked – at first, it looked like he was grabbing his back, and then later on, it seemed like the wrist, because that was the injury at that he pulled out his Sony right after Tournament of Champions.
Yes.
He actually wasn't supposed to play this week at Farmers because he was supposed to play Sony, added this after the wrist injury. So I think that's more of what it probably seemed like, but he seemed like he was protecting something and nothing was working there. I don't have a lot of concern over the Spieth miscut. He doesn't play that great. There's the picture. Spieth doesn't play that great at Torrey generally. I didn't expect much from him coming in. I don't have concern over one Bryson miscut. It's more of like, well, he didn't hit it that well at Kapalua. He's not playing very well this week. Is this a lingering injury? Is it he's just going to be rusty for a couple months? I have more questions around Bryson as these guys do another lap than I do around Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth is going to snap the longest active cut streak on tour, thanks to our friend over at Justin Ray for compiling that. It was 20, Doug, only 122 away from Tiger's record. I think that record might be safe.
Yeah, it's going to be safe. Again, though, for Jordan, he just hasn't played a lot of golf.
Yeah. And, he played bad at Hero.
Yeah, and obviously he's very rusty. You know, he didn't play great in the opening round at the Century Tournament of Champions. They did okay the last 3 days, but everybody does okay out there. I mean, that was a birdie barrage. He's just rusty, and a lot's going on. You know, he had the baby. He and his wife enjoyed the birth of their first child, so I think that takes time away from the game, and I think we're just seeing a guy who is just getting a feel for things and just getting back out of the PGA Tour.
I think if he plays poor, I don't know if he's playing Phoenix, but I presume he's playing Pebble next week. If he's playing poorly at Pebble, Phoenix into March, then I think you can start to say, okay, what's going on here? But I don't know. One week at Torrey, I'm not super concerned about.
John Rahm, Justin Thomas, and Adam Schenck atop the leaderboard after two rounds at Torrey Pines. We will be back after each and every round. rounds to close out this week with Recap Podcast. Big thanks to producer Jacob doing all the work behind the scenes. My guys in Orlando, Doug Bell, Kyle Porter, thank you very much. This has been the First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.